Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and I'm talking to a man today from the wilds of Northumberland who's been exploring that area extensively and has been writing a book about some of the best day walks that are available in that area. I know Northumberland a little. I've passed through there a few times, but it's a wild and open place, and I think an awful lot of people probably don't know much about Northumberland, so I'm going to bring Dave in and get him to tell us about it. And so today I'm talking to Dave Wilson. Hi, Dave, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, John.
Now, I've given a very poor introduction to Northumberland there. For the people listening, can you tell us, describe Northumberland to us? What's it like? What attracts you to that area?
I mean, in terms of it, you're exactly right. In terms of we're kind of the forgotten county in England a little bit, because we're so far north up. Obviously, we sit on the border between us and Scotland. In terms of it, it's kind of, we're probably one of the least visited in terms of visitor tourism numbers. And what that means is we've got big, wide open spaces, which tend to have not very many people kicking around them. The coast's quite busy, given that it's a bit of a tourist pull. But otherwise, Northumberland is, exactly as you mentioned, a wild, rugged place. We have the Cheviot Hills to the far north, which obviously sit on the border with Scotland. We have 60 plus miles of coastline, all big, wide expanses of open sand, beautiful seas. And then within all that, we've got lots of Hadrian's Wall, Kielder Forest, Kielder Reservoir. And then in the south of the region, it's quite an industrial area, previous coal mining, railway, all those kind of things. So it's a real mix of history, heritage, natural environment, all that kind of thing. So it's a fascinating place to visit.
It's certainly a very wild place. I can remember. Tell us, so you obviously pulled together some of the best walks that you could find in the area, and it's a big area, isn't it? It's a big place. Huge, really. So tell us, the Cheviot, is there, tell us about walks there, because that's the probably the biggest hill that people will know about.
Yep, exactly right. So same again, kind of the Cheviot's kind of a forgotten mountain, I would say. It's 815 metres, so it's a reasonable height in terms of English mountains. But in terms of it, it's grass-covered peat bogs on the top of it. And a lot of people, even locals, will say, well, if you stood on the top of Cheviot, sort of at the summit point, it's not the most exciting of views, because it's all almost like a whale's back. So when you stood on the top, you know, it's not like Scarfell or something like that, where you've got these huge expanses of views. You stood on the top, and obviously with it being like a whale, you're kind of seeing a lot of land. But the walk up to Cheviot, coming off Cheviot, you've got all these sort of hidden valleys. I once heard Northumberland, specifically the Cheviot, described like a duvet. So you can imagine lying in bed and all the bumps and lumps of a duvet as it sits. What it's like in the Cheviot. As you're looking down, you've got all these little bumps and lumps and little valleys you can walk down and all that kind of thing. So it's a big open space. It is kind of one of the last wild places in the country, I'd say, because we don't get these huge volumes of visitors. So it is a real wild place. It is a place where you can quite easily get lost and lose yourself.
Yeah, now I think my main memory of it is kind of finishing the Pennine Way over which comes down goes over the top of Cheviot. Well, not quite the top, but I remember right.
Ken Hill, it hits kind of the left of Cheviot and then drops down into Cheviot.
That's right. We did plan to do Cheviot when we did it, but when we got near it, it's a black soup, a black peaty soup, or it was in those days.
Is
it still like that?
There's a good footpath goes to the top now, basically. Slabs go all the way to the summit now, so it's a lot easier.
Might be.
But it is, that's exactly right. When you kind of look at it, and I would imagine even just going back maybe 20 years, you would look at it and it's a daunting prospect. I've sort of set out from the summit point heading north across the peat, because there's a in the book, there is a route to get to a plane crash. There's about a dozen plane crashes on top of Cheviot and the surrounding hills.
Okay.
So in the book, it does take you out of that point, but only if conditions are right, because otherwise you'll be coming back bootless for sure.
Yes, it is. I can remember the pay. Yeah, so I think when I did the Pennine Way about 40 years ago, and they hadn't paved any of it, and it was just the Cheviot and the early stages at around Edale, which is just black soup basically. There are some fantastic walks, and tell us about one of the ones that I fancy doing actually is Hadrian's Wall. I've done a very short section of it, but it goes through some quite remote country, really, doesn't it?
It does. It's a nice mix, Hadrian's Wall, in terms of a walk starting obviously on the west coast. So it does take you from coast to coast, and it takes you the initial stages as you're coming through Cumbria and everything like that. You don't really see any wall, because the wall's right. Just gone in those stages. Right. So it's not really until you start kicking in to Northumberland, you enter around the Gilsland area, and at that point you're coming into Northumberland National Park. So Northumberland National Park's got, I don't know, maybe it's a 15-mile stretch of the wall sits in the National right. Park, and that's probably the best section. So that's your big open views, your big wild landscape,
right?
Big, huge sections of wall to walk alongside and everything like that. And then as you come away from that again, the wall kind of disappears, and then you're dropping into Newcastle city centre along the River Tyne and all that kind of thing. So it's a real big mix in terms of the different types of places you visit, but it's a fantastic walk. 84 miles is the full right. National trail,
right?
And along the, I mean, it's a really well marked out route, really well cared for, and there's plenty of pubs, B&Bs, and all that kind of thing along the route. So it's not obviously one of our biggest trails in the country. But it is it's one of those that people really should set the time up to visit.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember doing the short section that I did, but it was as I'm sure is very often is in Northumberland, it was a pretty misty, dreak day, and you could hardly see more than about 10 yards. But doing the section of the wall felt incredibly atmospheric, because it was like, I felt almost you could just be a phalanx of Roman soldiers could come marching towards you at any time. It just felt like they could walk out in the mist, and neither of us, you'd see these dripping Italians who wouldn't be very happy with being there, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, it is one of those places where it's kind of the two contrasts you've got, either where it's really grey, misty, really atmospheric, or the other side where it's, clear blue skies, views for miles and all that kind of thing. The funny thing is people think about Northumberland and the northeast as this wet and wild place, but actually Northumberland's one of the driest counties in the country, sitting
is
on the east coast.
Right?
It is, yeah, because we obviously sit a decent bit away from the main Pennines and all that kind of thing, and obviously the likes of the Lakes and the Manchesters and all those places that are soaking. Whereas Northumberland on the east coast is actually one of the driest counties, but you wouldn't think it, and even living here, you don't think that kind of thing. So.
Okay, I mean, we've talked about what I guess would be the most well-known walks in Northumberland. We've talked about the Cheviot and obviously Hadrian's Wall. But can you tell us, Dave, when you were writing your book, are there walks that you discovered or found out about that you thought were particularly good that maybe most people wouldn't have heard of?
Yeah, so I mean, the premise for me, knowing the area really well and obviously having spent my life here, the plan for me was to find routes of probably places that people know and know well, but then take them maybe a different route to get there or somewhere different when they were there, or to find somewhere entirely new that maybe people hadn't thought about walking and all that kind of thing. So the places we've said, the coast, the Cheviots, all those kind of things are reasonably well visited. But places like the south, so south of the wall kind of thing, in south Northumberland, a lot of these places, as you come into the sort of North Pennine area, mm-hmm. a lot of these places are reasonably quiet. I mean, it's a lot of open moorland and all that kind of thing, which, again, from a walker's perspective, if you're doing the Pennine Way, you're just getting through it kind of thing. But from a walker's perspective, it might be thought of as not the most picturesque. But, I mean, sort of places south of the wall, I did one walk which was kind of like South Tynedale Railway, which kind of runs along the River South Tyne. So the River Tyne's got the River North Tyne and the River South Tyne. And along there, and it was walking along the old railway tracks of kind of the Alston Line and all this kind of thing. And it was just phenomenal. I mean, it was a place where I'd been to bits of it, but never done, obviously, a long-distance walk through it. So I kind of set out along the Pennine Way and then came back along this rail line, and it was just huge viaducts over the river and old railway stations, railway platforms overgrown and everything like that. And it's just, that's the kind of stuff that people want in terms of it, you know, that sort of walk that feels like you're getting out and discovering something for the first time. So
almost sounds like it's almost a bit like time travel, that, isn't it? You're walking back into places that have perhaps been forgotten, you know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's kind of what Northumberland's really good at, that exact point, you know. We've got loads of castles. We've got the most castles as a county. I think there's 70 plus castle sites in Northumberland.
So really? Be it
from your Annex and Barnborough's obviously big inhabited castles still, to, you know, just a hill in a village which once had a castle on it and all this kind of thing and is now just a hill. So we've got huge amounts of castles, castle sites and all that kind of thing. But literally, you know, in the Cheviots, just coming off like the Pennine Way and the Border Ridge, one of the walk just pops down to a waterfall that's there. And just along from the waterfall is a small ruined piece of ground kind of thing with stones and what have you. And it's an old whiskey still from when obviously there was whiskey running over the border and everything like that. Uh-huh. So it's just little things like that where somebody walking would potentially not realize what that was, you know what I mean? They could think it was anything. And that's, we've just got pockets of this all over the place where kind of, with a bit of a guide, you can obviously then start discovering what these things at the sides of tracks and everything are. So.
I see. Yeah. And so for the what does Northumberland offer then for the coastal walker then?
So in terms of the coastal walk, the coast's great because the coast is phenomenal. I mean, you know, the beaches are anything from little coves to 7 mile long stretches of big open. And if the tide's out, you know, you've got huge expanses of beaches where, especially at the minute kind of thing, you'd be lucky to bump into anybody.
Right, yeah.
We've got that beauty of the coastline kind of thing, but then dotted all the way along the coast are just castle sites. So there's one walk in the book, which is literally coast and castle. So to walk all the way up the coast, and it just visits the likes of Dunstanborough Castle, which sits out kind of on a headland by itself.
Right.
Just now, and it follows all the way up past old pillboxes, defences on the beach from all the anti-tank stuff from during the war, you know. It sounds very industrial and as if it would be hard looking at it kind of thing, but these things are there. And even if you ask somebody locally, potentially they would say, oh well, they're just concrete blocks, they've always been there. But obviously, again, it's these little things that are in the sand dunes and everything like that as you walk along. And then that walk finishes at Barnborough, in the village of Barnborough, obviously sort of in the shadow of Barnborough Castle. So that's just a fantastic walk. The day I did it was just phenomenal. I just hit on perfect for the weather.
Right, right.
It was just such a good walk all the way up.
It sounds as though there's a lot of interest, a lot of stuff, particularly if you're into history. It's that these walks sound really good, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it is great in terms of history, natural landscape and all that kind of thing. But then, you know, you just have to go to the likes of Kielder Forest, and that feels like a very natural landscape, which obviously it is nature at its best kind of thing, but it's all man-made.
Yes,
you know, so the reservoir man-made, the forest man-made, but yet Kielder Forest is there's a point in Kielder Forest which is the most remote location in England, sort of furthest away from a main road and all that kind of thing. So people think of the Lake District and all these places as being sort of wild and remote, whereas actually Northumberland, given its location and sort of the density of the population, all that kind of thing, Northumberland by far in terms of remoteness has it in bucket loads.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things I've heard about. Obviously, you know, it is the Kielder Forest is huge as far as I'm aware, and
yeah, it is.
I don't know whether this is progressing or where it went. Obviously, one of the things that I'm interested in is obviously rewilding, and I know that there was at one point, I don't know whether it's still progressing, but there was at one point plans to rewild the links into Kielder Forest because it's simply because of that it is so remote. Is that still going ahead? Do you know?
So it went, it got quite a distance with the organisation that were doing it, but in essence, it got halted, it got declined in the end.
Right.
But it is still ongoing. Obviously, they haven't just given up kind of thing. They are pressing on to keep on going with that, because there is loads of rewilding sort of in just beyond Kielder, like a place called Reedsdale. We've got a project called Restoring Ratty, Which is like all your waterfalls and all that kind of thing.
Right,
we've got
right.
I think there might be the whole proposal for reintroducing beavers and all that kind of thing, you know, like they've done and down in the New Forest or something. I can't remember where it was, but so yeah, there's all of that kind of thing. But in terms of the lynx, I think it met with a lot of opposition from farmers more than anything. I think that was one of the big stumbling blocks.
Yeah,
the concerns around lynx, and obviously domestic, like, you know, your sheep and all that kind of thing. So
yeah, we got plenty of sheep. We could lose a few.
Oh,
that's not really a problem, is it?
Exactly. Right. But no, it's a great project, and it's great to see things that are being done because.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. I mean, I'm interested that you said that, you know, there's a project to provide habitat for water voles, because the old poor old water vole has had a fair old hammering over the last 20 odd years. You know, their population, as you probably aware, has plummeted. And I had her name's gone out of my head, but I did have a lady who's actually written a book about water voles on Outside In a few weeks ago. So her podcast will be kicking around there somewhere. Another thing I've heard about, I'm discovering I know quite a bit about Northumberland.
You see?
One of the things I heard about, a mate of mine is an astronomer, and yep. I believe you've got a great dark skies area, which yep. is obviously an area that is free of light pollution, and people who like to stargaze go there. Is that right? Is that a feature?
So, yeah, so I can't remember even how many years ago, maybe 6, 7, it might even be more than that now, there was a project to get us the recognised as the as a international dark sky.
Right.
So that project all went through, and I think at the time we would have probably been the only one in England in terms of internationally right. recognised dark sky. And there's quite a few, I think the Yorkshire Dales and everybody's kind of got it now, but we are the gold tier of dark sky, so minimal light pollution. And this is, again, around the Kielder area, because of the area that it sits in. It is just crystal clear skies. But I mean, even away from Kielder, even going towards like the coast, if you go like North Northumberland coast, the skies there, again, are, you know, you're seeing the Milky Way. Which I think it's 80% of the population in the country have never seen the Milky Way.
Is that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's really, really high in terms of people not seeing it because they're so used to the night sky in city centres, you know, urban areas and all that kind of thing. But so, yeah, so now we've got this, the dark sky accreditation. Kielder Observatory was built. That's still going strong now, kind of thing, in terms of the numbers that they see and the programs that they have
right,
on and everything.
Right.
That sits up like on a high point in the forest above Kielder Water and everything. So it's a great location that they've got. But then on top of that, now we've got the likes of Battlesteads, which was a pub. And now they've got an observatory. North Pennines, I think we might have two observatories down there now. So it is a real boom time in terms of that, what's it called, astro-tourism or something like that, that they're looking
astro-tourism.
At.
Astro-tourism.
Yeah. So even pubs, B&Bs and all this, we've got a full programme in terms of through the tourist board where, you know, it's encouraging local hotels, B&Bs, all this kind of thing, to have binoculars, to have the star books, to have an area out the back perhaps where, you know, they can switch out all the lights and have people there just to start getting people used to and exploring. Because I think I used to volunteer at the Kielder Observatory, and I'm by no means any type of astronomer or anything like that. But my big thing was always that we know so much about, you know, the touch feel land that we can see and feel under our feet. But I think the night sky is really dawning to people because it's so colossal and there's just lots of light in there. And it's kind of, I don't know what that is. Is it, you know, which star is this? Is it Polaris? Is it this? You know, and it's just so daunting that it's where to start. Whereas the likes of Kielder Observatory, they're really good at giving people that introduction. So recognize the small things first, even recognize the small things in your locality at home, because you'll see these big constellations easier at home. And then you can go to the likes of Kielder, spot the big constellation, and then realize to the left of that is, you know, whichever galaxy or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's really, really great in terms of the last few years, in terms of the boom we've seen in this astro tourism kind of thing. So.
That sounds fascinating. I mean, to be you've sold Northumberland to me.
but it's a key point that I think a lot of people, you know, if you said to somebody, you know, particularly from like the South Coast or something, that's a hell of a journey from somebody down there. So we see a lot of visitors from the likes of Yorkshire and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Quite close. But if you ask a lot of people to go, oh, yeah, I remember driving through. So maybe it's on the A1 or something like that.
Yes.
You know, tends to be from south of the region heading into Scotland or something like that.
Yes.
Or they'll say, oh, yes, I visited Alnwick Castle or Bamburgh Castle, or I've been to Hadrian's Wall. And they've seen really little pockets of it. I went as a tour guide, and it's the same
that you'd like. In some ways, it's a little bit like Dumfries and Galloway. If you go a bit further, most people, it's a region people pass through.
100%. Yeah, it's a great place, Dumfries and Galloway. I love it over there. You're exactly right. There's so much there, but it's kind of has a name. We know some of the highlights that are there, but we don't know actually the nitty gritty of the great places that are there. Yeah, exactly right.
So it sounds a fascinating remote place, a great place for people looking for history and stargazing and just about every kind of remote and wild pastime you can think of. It sounds really
exactly
good.
Right.
And let's hope once we can travel again, we can get to explore some of the walks. So your book is Day Walks in Northumberland. Is that, have I got it right?
It's exactly right. Day Walks in Northumberland. So it's 20 coastal and countryside walks. So it ranges from around about 7.5 miles to about 15 miles in terms of the different walks that are in there.
That sounds great. And I'll put a link to your book on the website page, and anybody who's interested in exploring what sounds like a fantastic area, I hope they'll pick up your book and give a good place to start.
Anyway, excellent.
So it was great speaking to you today. Thanks very much. Really interested to talk to you. And maybe one day I'll get down to Northumberland.
Excellent. Great
okay.
stuff, John.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Cheers, John. Bye now.